Hello and welcome to this episode of the ESG Fitness Podcast. Did you just squeal a little bit?
Me? No.
Oh, okay. There was a weird sound. Okay, so you, as you now know, I have a guest with me today. And she is not only a very experienced personal trainer herself, a CrossFit athlete, a yoga teacher, a commentator, and a friend of mine.
Oh.
But why I have her on today is she also runs, well, I'm going to portray her as a relationship expert. So she also runs, is it called Fit Mingle?
It's called Fit Mingle, yeah.
Okay, so actually, do you know what? This is Shona, not Coach Shona, different Shona, as you may hear from the accent. But why don't you give a little introduction of yourself and then tell us about Fit Mingle a little bit and what it is, and then we'll discuss why you came on the podcast.
Okay, sure. Hello, I'm Shona Denovan. I have been a fan of Emma Story Gordon for years, and now I'm one of her clients, and I've been getting coaching from you for about like 6 months, maybe?
Yeah, maybe? Something like that, yeah.
And it has absolutely changed my life. It's brilliant. And as Emma said, I'm a personal trainer myself. I have been working in the industry for 6 years, personal training, I work in Pure Gym, I teach yoga. I also work at CrossFit events as an event host and MC. And I just like doing lots of different things. I get monkey brain. I couldn't just be a PT. I like to like have crazy ideas. A bit like yourself, Emma, like you're always looking for the next project, aren't you? Like you always need a challenge because it's really easy to rest on your laurels in this job and get comfortable. And I mean, it's not a really hard job, is it? Not really, because it's kind of
easy to do well.
Yes,
I think it's hard to do really well.
Yeah,
as with most things. But yeah, you're right. A lot of people get to like a comfortable place with clients, and then they just think, "Well, this is fine. I'll just keep doing this."
Yeah. So yeah, I feel like not only am I getting help with you in terms of my diet and training and stuff, in terms of business is always pretty inspirational, and I feel like you've had that effect on me as well. And also today is day 50 of no alcohol for me.
Ooh,
and I would credit you with that as well. I'm gonna sound so gushy.
I know, but this first bit I'm just gonna clip up new promo.
Just post it on your website.
Yeah.
So great. So moving on to the Fit Mingle thing. I run events. Basically how it works, it's like speed dating, but it's a workout. So there's lots of people, they all arrive, they're quite nervous, and then I partner them up depending on who they're interested in, and they take part in like several 3-minute workouts, and then they move on. They ask each other a little question, and it's something dead cheesy like, what do you do on your rest day? Or what's your favorite cheat meal? And then they move on and they do lots of little workouts. And then at the end, they fill in a form. And if they're interested in someone, they fill in the form, they give it to me. And if there's any matches, I then act as Cilla Black and introduce them. And that's it.
Can you match with more than, so could I be like, I'm interested in like a list of people?
Yeah, do you know, there's
anyone that picks me, I'm down.
Do you know, it's so funny, there's been some really greedy people who you just put loads of people down. And then there was one time, I thought this was pretty amazing, there was a boy who came and he wanted to only meet boys, but because there was not that many boys, I had to like partner him with girls every so often, and he actually for the first time in his life fancied a girl. And that, I was like, he was like, this has changed my life.
That's like, amazing. Did she fancy him?
No, unfortunately no.
Well, it's a start.
But like it's just a really silly and fun and cool way to meet people. And people arrive, they think it's going to be really awkward, but actually once you've exercised with someone, and it just gets really silly and everyone's just having a laugh. So yeah, it works really well, but it's just taking that leap to buy the ticket. Do you know what I mean? That's terrifying. Like you're putting yourself out there. You're when you're exercising, when you're sweating, you're quite, it's maybe quite vulnerable. But yeah, it tends to work really well on the night.
Yeah, would you agree with this statement that your training partner probably knows the most about you in your like current life?
Well, yeah, going back to what I've said, like you are your most vulnerable when you're pushing yourself to that limit, and they get to see how you work, what motivates you. Yeah, I would say your training partner does know you really well. It's really intimate, isn't it?
Yeah, it's that. And then I think as well, I guess it depends how you train, but in the sort of you go, I go set sort of workout, it's quite a lot of time for talking. And it's an easy place or environment to open up, I think, because you can speak as much about something, but if you want to change the topic, you just do your set. Or you just sort of, it's very easy to open up in that situation, I think, in comparison to like a one-on-one, like I'm sitting in front of you. And we want to talk about a certain topic, that's quite intense. Whereas if you've got training or you're on a walk or doing some form of exercise, it's quite easy to open up, but then also you've got something else going on in the background.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah, you're right. Like, there's a distraction if the conversation goes dry. And I mean, like, you'll see it yourself. You've worked in gyms. You do see people on first dates in gyms a lot, don't you?
Or even like that's how you've met.
Yeah,
I'll say
absolutely.
I've never been on more dates than when I worked at Virgin Active, because
Really?
yeah, I think they had this rule when I worked there that we had to interact with everyone that went onto the gym floor, which just meant like saying like, "Hey, how's your workout?" or like, "Hey, have you had a nice day?" or something. But obviously that like other people would be like, "Oh, that girl always comes and speaks to me when I come in. Like, I'm pretty sure she's got something for me." And but honestly, so many people like, but really weird people as well, not weird people, but just like, I was about 21, maybe not even 21, and like 40-year-old men. But I was like, oh,
You were going
interesting.
on dates with 40-year-old men,
No, I wasn't going on them, but they'd like
right?
ask me out on dates, and I was thinking,
They
how old do you?
asked me out,
Yeah.
right? Okay, and sometimes people can misinterpret like just being friendly as like you coming on to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So I remember having a conversation with you, and you said that, I don't know if this is still the case for you, that if you were looking for a partner, you wouldn't necessarily want someone who was into the gym or like really into fitness, or it was like a big part of their life, they were an athlete, etc. Do you feel that that's still the case?
Oh, it's a good question. Do you know what? I think I said that in the sense of, I wouldn't want someone who's really similar to me. Like, I think a lot of people are like, oh, it's so good to have a lot in common. And I think it's good to have some stuff in common, but I really like people who can teach me something. Like, I wouldn't want them, like, say we were both working in a gym as PTs, and we come home from work, and all we talk about is when we were working in the gym as PTs that day. And, like, that bores me. Whereas if they had a different job, it would, like, be a bit more interesting. I don't know. At this stage, I wouldn't close myself off to anyone. Any job will do. It's absolutely fine.
Oh, really? So this is interesting, Emma. We're probably going to end up talking a bit more about you. But so like you've asked me to come on and talk about relationships, and then you've put on Valentine's Day all these stories about like looking for someone. Is this the goals for 2020?
I don't know. I don't think you should ever like outwardly look for someone. Although maybe that's why I'm still
Why
single.
not? Why just gonna wait for people to come to you. Is that how you
I just expect them to turn up. No, I wouldn't say it's a goal. I think that's I'm not against outwardly looking for someone. I think that was the wrong way to put it, but I wouldn't say it's like a goal of mine. I'm quite happy being single. If anyone wants to come and add to my life, then they can.
Right, but you're happy to be single, but they add to your life.
Oh yeah, okay, right. I feel like I'm being put on the spot. I might edit this podcast.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, so do you think that okay, I had a question for you as
Wait,
well.
I've got one for you.
Okay, come back.
Okay. So you sort of said I'd put some things up on Valentine's Day, and we had a brief discussion about that, and that's kind of what led to this. So let's talk about, okay, I want to go over some theories and what you think of them. bearing in mind, like, neither of us are actually relationship experts, but Shona is actually Shona's actually in a relationship, so that makes her the expert here.
I am, yes.
So what's your thoughts on, so I spoke a little bit about attachment theories, and that was sort of there's three different attachment theories. You're either an avoidant, you're secure.
Or anxious.
Anxious, yeah.
And there's two avoidant, there's avoidant fearful, and there's avoidant something else that's like the opposite of fearful, like, so avoidant something else. I'll look it up. But yeah, okay, so continue.
Okay, so you've kind of got that, which would, it's almost insinuating like this is your type, like this is how you are, this is your personality, mm-hmm. and you should try and find someone that fits that. So like an avoidant would go with someone who's secure, maybe, or apparently, so secure could go with either avoidant or what was the other one again? Anxious,
yeah.
But you wouldn't want like two avoidant people together because that would never work. You wouldn't want two anxious people together, that would never work. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't want anxious and avoidant because they would be like the opposites. So that theory is kind of like you would never change yourself. You're kind of looking for someone to fit you. Mm-hmm. Or then you've got, which I think is almost the other way, like the languages of love theory, where you should sort of decide, or how I've heard it is that you should look at how your partner wants to be loved and love them in that way. So I found a good meme to explain that, which right. is the best way to explain everything, obviously. Mm. So it says, words of affirmation, for example, this is a good burrito. Acts of service, for example, I made you a burrito. Receiving gifts, here is a burrito. Quality time, let's go and get some burritos together. Or physical touch, arms around a person wrapped in a hug, like a burrito.
Oh,
it's a good example, isn't it? I wasn't quite sure I understood them all until now.
Uh-huh.
So, well, first of all, what ones would you say you are?
So I read your stories. And I would say, I showed it to Paul, who's my partner, and I was like, yeah, I'm totally secure. Yeah, that's me. I'm the best one. You're avoidant.
And did he agree?
Yes, a little bit. But then we had a conversation about it afterwards. And so Paul and I have been together for 8 years. We both work in the fitness industry. He owns a gym that I work in. And we do spend a lot of time together, so much so that I was just at the weekend there. I was in a different room in my house working on editing something on the computer. And he just couldn't deal with the fact that I was sitting in a different room from him. He was like, when are you coming back through? And the thing is, he didn't even want to like necessarily talk about anything or do anything. He just wanted to sit in the same room as me. So maybe he's not avoidant. Maybe we're just like anxious, secure.
Or maybe he was like, I think all these things, you know, when you do personality type tests, like everyone's on a spectrum, and with certain,
I totally agree,
yeah. Yeah. Like with certain situations, you might be a more anxious person, and with certain situations, yeah. you might be more avoidant. And more importantly, with certain relationships, I think, and this is true with sort of any way that you act around people, like you are probably a different person around your mum than you are around me.
Absolutely.
Or you act in a different role, and I guess in some ways it's about the other person and how they make you feel, and that's possibly the way that you behave around them.
Mm.
But
you can get into like a sort of like role with that person. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Mm. Yeah.
So my question really about this whole thing would be, so in my head, languages of love is about sort of changing to adapt to your partner,
yeah.
whereas really like paying attention to attachment theories would be more about, I guess, not not changing for your partner, just finding someone that fits you.
Yeah, I totally agree, because I think things like that can be really limiting. It's kind of similar to, like, you know, when people say, oh, I'm just a total bitch because I'm a Scorpio. Like, it's like... it's giving an excuse for your behavior instead of actually, like, I think, like, if you're an anxious or an avoidant person, you can do something about that. You don't have to limit yourself, like, oh, that's just the way I am. Like, there's this thing that we used to do, I think we still do it at Pure Gym, you know, those different colours, like if someone's, someone's a blue, yellow, whatever. And I just think, like, that's just an excuse to say, oh yeah, I'm a red, I'm a tall, macho, PT and angry. But I just, I actually, like, more would gravitate towards the languages of love, because that implies that you're aware of your partner, you're like, not just totally self-absorbed. Because I think, like, sometimes people who are avoidant person, or people who would sort of identify as avoidant, it's like they're putting up a barrier and they're being all about me. Like, I was reading about, like, the avoidant personality. Apparently, they don't even really care what people think of them and their successes. They're just so, like, ego-driven. Like, their own motivation is all sort of as internal, comes from, right, and comes and doesn't come from other people being like, oh, you're great, which is actually quite impressive.
Yeah, but the more that people speak about avoidance, I am like, that is me, but it's not something that, and again, like, people can use that as an excuse, like, it is so ridiculous, but, oh, sorry, that's just my, it's just who I am, it's my personality. And it's like, well, actually, you can change that, and if some of traits of your personality aren't necessarily beneficial, then it might be a good idea to have a, like, be a bit more self-reflective, which is another thing I wanted to talk about, like, self-awareness, because we were talking about that in check-ins, weren't we, and you were saying, why do I think that I've become more self-aware? And then I was like, actually, am I more self-aware, or do I just think that I'm more self-aware? And is that even worse than, like, not being self-aware?
Yeah, I'm totally self-aware, yes.
Yeah, I know myself so well, yeah.
But it's just interesting, like, it feels like, I don't really know you that well, Emma, but it just feels like you're having, like, a sort of moment of introspection and, like, self-improvement, because obviously you can't train the way that you normally do, so you're the sort of person, how else can I improve?
Yeah, that's exactly how I try and think about things. Like, I'll take, you know, an hour or so to wallow at some points, but then I'm like, right, if I can't do this, what can I do to improve other aspects? So at the moment, I'm kind of like, well, I can't train, can't do much physical, what can I do to improve my mental health? And remember when you tried to call me yesterday, I was meditating. Yeah.
That's so, you were so smug.
I know. Do you think you're self-aware?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think, and sometimes it can be, for a long time it was to my detriment. Like, I was really, instead of just going for things, instead of just putting myself out there, I was like, oh, like, really, Shona, how do you come across? How do people read you? And I think you need to get a balance between being self-aware and, like, being too self-aware, but also, like, reining it in a little bit. Like, me and you, we're big personalities, and sometimes we can come across, maybe, I don't know how you come across, but sometimes people can say that I'm intimidating, and that is such a surprise to me. Like, I see myself as, like, a really goofy person. So when people say that, I find that, like, wow, that I really need to look inward and see why.
Well, in this instance, because I've seen you, and, like, not in a weird way, but also seen you from afar, like, as in how someone would see you as intimidating, like, let's say it's a CrossFit thing and you're commentating on it, and it's more that you're a confident woman, or at least you look confident while you're doing that. Because I know people say that to me, they're like, oh, when you do your talks, you're so confident. I'm like, I could not be, that is not true. But I'm glad that the front I put on looks confident. I don't know if that's the same for you, but I think it possibly says more about whoever's finding you intimidating.
Yeah, possibly.
And why is they think you're intimidating? And I often find that I think successful, or maybe not successful people, but, like, really confident people can be a little bit intimidating, but almost in a good way. Like, intimidating is, I'm like, that's pretty amazing what you're doing.
Yeah. So what do you think about self-awareness? Do you think it's important to be self-aware?
Yeah. I definitely think it's important to sort of check yourself. I think it's a really hard thing to do, which is why then when we were talking about it, I was like, am I self-aware? Or do I just think that I'm being self-aware? But I guess things like journaling and doing check-ins, things like that, like, do make you a bit more, at least, reflective.
Absolutely.
And you sort of catch yourself out on on behaviors that you're doing that might not be beneficial to you.
Yeah, that's why the check-in is so important to me, and the questions that you ask as well allow you to be reflective. So that's why I like it.
Yeah, and actually sometimes I'll get questions like, I know that a lot of other coaches do video check-ins or calling their clients or like voice noting, and people are like, oh, that's a bit more personal, it gives that personal touch. I don't do that because I want you to write it down. Like, you wouldn't, if I called you up, we'd end up just having a bit of a chat and I'd be like, how was your week? And you'd be like, yeah, it was kind of fine. This happened. Went out for a meal. That was cool. Yeah. If you're writing it down, it means you need to make sense of it before you put it down.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Okay, I went out for a meal and I went over my, I've gone over my calories 3 times this week. Okay, I need to check myself. Whereas, like I said, when you're having a call, it ends up just being like probably not as useful and not as reflective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, let me just check what else we wanted to discuss on this. And you still haven't answered which language of love you are.
Oh.
This is my question as well. Do you get to be more than one? Because I kind of like all of them.
Yeah, I like all of them. I think, when I grew up as a child, like, my family are very huggy, tactile, affectionate family, and I would feel like that's definitely a language that I speak. However, like, when people like touch you and you don't really know them, like grab your hand and hold on to you, that can be like a little bit alarming. So there needs to be a little bit of knowing someone before you do that. But I love a hug. I do. What else do I like? I like being bought presents. No, I'm joking.
Receiving gifts and physical touch.
Physical touch.
It is kind of hard because you kind of want all of them, at least to some extent.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there any that you think that aren't important? Like, I'm trying to think. What are the languages of love?
Words of affirmation, mm-hmm. acts of service, receiving mm-hmm. gifts, mm-hmm. quality time, and physical touch.
Definitely quality time is important. Like, so obviously Paul and I both train every day, both work in fitness industry, so it's important for us to do something not fitness related. However, in saying that, we do not train together. It doesn't work. It really doesn't work if we try and exercise together.
And why is that?
because the dynamic, he's the coach, he owns the gym that I coach at, and he's always been my coach. And he'll coach me just like anyone else in the class. And sometimes, like, my ego just can't deal. Like, I've got, like,
I've got the
self-awareness.
Yeah, yeah.
I have an ego. So if he tells me that I'm doing something wrong, then, yeah, that's annoying. I'm also, he probably won't listen to this, way fitter than him, and he can't deal with it.
I'm going to clip this and send it to him.
Yes, please do.
Okay, what I think we should do now, because we've spoken about attachment types, but we haven't actually said exactly what they are, and I've just found the definitions.
Okay, good.
This was a very organized podcast, but we're going back to attachment types.
You're going to do a lot of editing.
I never edit this.
You don't?
No. Okay. So unless you say something racist or something, I probably won't.
Okay, I'll try not to.
Which I'm sure you won't. Okay, so anxious is want and can be very close, fear partner doesn't want the same, gets attached very, in brackets, too quickly, relationships take lots of your energies, very sensitive to partner's moods, spots moods early but are often wrong, experience many negative emotions, misbehave, say things they regret, feel there's something wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite a sad one. Okay, and then you have the opposite end of the spectrum, which is the avoidant. They put in independence and autonomy above all, want to be close but feel uncomfortable with too much intimacy, not worried about relationships up and downs, doesn't open up, worried the relationship is quote unquote becoming a cage, has an ideal true love they never meet, feels there's something wrong with their partners, with the partners that they're with, and tends to be less happy and unsatisfied in a relationship. Also, I found a great meme for this as well, which genuinely I think was me for a while. And that it was like a, there's like a picture and it says, do you have an avoidant attachment style or are you just a lesbian with a man? And I thought, yeah, that actually could be what happened for quite a long time for me.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, the final one is secure. This is naturally warm and loving, enjoys intimacy, not too worried about relationships up and down, effectively communicates their needs, good at supporting their partner, and has a realistic view of blame. And in my opinion, even if you are, like, if you're like, okay, actually, I basically am anxious or I'm very avoidant, which I know I am, like, I think the goal should always be to try and get to a place where you're acting as more as a secure person. Like, when you read these definitions, you're like, right, I'd want to be with someone who's secure.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Instead of just saying, not my fault, I'm an avoidant, we should probably be like, okay, what can I do? Or can I sort of pick myself up on behaviors where I know that I'm acting as a quote unquote avoidant and try and focus on being more secure?
Well, from what you said earlier, an anxious avoidant person can go together. But a secure person could be with an anxious or an avoidant person.
Yeah, opens up your opportunities.
Yeah. So I think what this anxious avoidant person would need is someone who is secure, who was really kind and really supportive in helping an anxious or an avoidant person get over or move on from the things that were holding them back. Because if you read the attachment theory, it probably comes from something that's happened in your life or childhood. So you would need someone who is just really supportive and loving and would help you get around that, but also like quite firm, because sometimes like you don't want someone to just put up with your shit all the time. So you want someone who's gonna be like, right, okay, cool, I know why you're like this, but maybe it's time for us to move on.
Yeah.
And try and grow as a person, because with Paul, is he was very independent. Like he grew up with just his mum, and so he had to grow up really, really fast and be by himself and look after himself, feed himself, blah blah blah. And then after a while, when we first got in a relationship, he was like still wanting to be like that, and that's cool. But sometimes I'm like, babe, we've been together 8 years, you can't use that excuse anymore. So yeah, I think it's just a sort of like mixture of positive and firm encouragement,
positive reinforcement.
Yeah,
and I guess it depends on the person as well, but like how you do that. Like I would find it really annoying and patronizing if they were like, okay, you're obviously being an avoidant, like stop me. And I'd be like, I'm not, this is just, like, that would sort of put my barriers up.
That's called gaslighting, isn't it?
What is?
Like, if you are having an issue and someone's like, well, you're clearly just being like this because you're an avoidant personality. That's like when I'm like being a bitch to Paul and he's like, are you on your period? Like,
yeah.
That is like it's gonna send you next level angry, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Or when you're really like, when you're really angry or something, someone's like, you just need to calm down. I'm like, oh,
that's not gonna help. So
that's,
you need
really
a secure
unhelpful
person who's not a patronizing, condescending secure person, or like a smug, like, I'm just so secure in myself, basically me. You couldn't be with me.
You are the problem because I'm great.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, you need to, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, so to finish off this episode, which I think has been brilliant, we wanted to speak a little bit about social media.
Mm-hmm.
So I want your opinion, because you are the one in a relationship, of social media and relationships. Like, I know that you're with Paul from social media, mm-hmm. but you're not mega, mega, like, throwing your relationship out there.
No. I think that's because that's out of respect to him, because he's not really into Instagram or Facebook or anything like that, and he's not into being filmed or pictures taken of him. So that's probably out of respect to him. I mean, I don't really get annoyed by people doing stuff like that. You know, it's been, some people get really incensed by, like showing off on Instagram, showing off their partners, like public displays of affection. That doesn't really bother me, but I do get why it bothers people. And you do also sometimes wonder, who is that for? That's not for that person. That's for everyone else. And you think, really, is that what it's like behind closed doors?
Yeah, like, you always see the sort of best of the relationship, don't you? Or the what you would deem as the best. And I've done it before, like had massive arguments, and then sometimes it's like a makeup thing.
Well, like, that's kind of weird. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That's kind of weird. Like,
totally weird. Yeah.
So do you think that would be because the person you were with was maybe an anxious person? And they needed that, like that was their language of love, an Instagram post.
Well, but it is reassuring that you're sort of saying that, like, and I guess, I don't know, I was like, after I had my last relationship, I was like, I would never put anything up about relationships again, because, I don't know, it's just like, oh, what happened with it? And it's the people you don't know, so I'm like, it's none of your business,
that's
whatever,
so
it's done. But I also think, given how much of my work and life I put on social media, it'd be really weird if I didn't, like, if I was in a relationship and I didn't put anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And almost like you were, like, hiding them or something. Like, I would probably feel a bit insecure if my partner had a similar job to me or was, like, on social media as much as I am. And then just never mentioned me.
I could totally get that. Like, sometimes you follow one person and you see that there's tons of posts about their partner, and then you click on their profile and there's nothing. You wouldn't know. And you do tend to see it with, like, influencer types, because obviously their target market is, like, thirsty people that fancy them. And if they had if it was really obvious they were in a relationship, then maybe that they might not have this quite the same following. You don't know. So
yeah, it could be that. And I also, after I put up that attachment theory thing, someone sent me it was a YouTube to this guy, I think his name's Daniel Floss, but it's someone Floss, and he's a comedian, and he talks about how
Daniel Sloss,
is it Sloss?
Yeah, I think it's Sloss. Yeah, is he not from Dundee? Is he not from from?
He's Scottish though, a comedian. And he talks a lot about, like, he's like, I'm not anti-relationships, but I'm anti, like, fake relationships. And he's like, if it's truly going well, you'd be enjoying the moment and not writing about it on social media. Mm-hmm. Which, again, like, does make a point there. But I don't know. It's an interesting, like, I can see the pros and cons of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, you can carry that forward into every other thing with social media, like, mindfulness, being in the moment, not feeling that you have to share everything that's going on, you know. But like, how do you balance that? Like, because obviously social media can get, like, a lot. It can, I like, you're really good at Instagram, like, you're really good at it.
Why, thank
you. I find that, like, I should put the effort in, but then I just feel so attached to my phone. So how do you I'm just interested, how do you balance that?
I tend not to put up that much about what I'm doing.
Right, I see. You know, yours is all helpful.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's helpful, but it's all, like, information-based. Like, I might now and again put up something about what I'm doing, but I don't feel the need to do that. So if I'm doing something fun, I'll enjoy that rather than put it on Instagram. And then, I mean, it takes me 5 minutes a day to do, like, an interesting story, or quote-unquote interesting.
Yeah.
Mm. And I just sit and do that on my laptop. So that's kind of easy. But yeah, there is that. It's hard when it's your job and your business as well. 'Cause you're like, oh, like, I don't really want to be on social media today, but I should post. And then if I'm not, like, will that impact whatever? And then you hear, like, recommendations to people, like, show up every day on social media, make sure you're putting out content every day. So, right, I need to do this.
Yeah.
And I very rarely, I think it's because I tend to have quite a lot to say, but I very rarely, like, struggle with that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So, I think I would if it was always, like, a selfie and a caption or something like that. Because I've got such a broad array of stuff I could talk about.
Yeah.
that is kind of easy to do, but it would be much harder if it was all sort of personal things, because some days you definitely don't have the motivation or anything to say about yourself, probably.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I've got, I know you wanted to draw it to a close, but I've got a question for you.
All right, okay.
About social media and dating.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw this on Reddit. A new dating app is launched. Instead of a photo of the person, it shows you a photo of their bedroom, car, kitchen, shoes, how they have their tea, coffee, things like that. What photo would tell you the most about someone, and would you be most interested to see to choose a potential date?
Oh God, I'm just looking at my bedroom. Not great, because it's also my office.
Right.
Sorry, and also my car. Really not great time. So, I don't know. Maybe that does say a lot about me, though.
Mm-hmm. Right, but...
But I'd like to think it doesn't.
Uh-huh. What would you like to see about a person that would make you... That would tell you a lot about them?
That's such a good question. And you know, this is an awful answer.
Mm-hmm.
But for some people, probably their social media.
Right. Okay.
But then if you're someone who doesn't use it, then obviously it wouldn't tell you anything.
No.
But then maybe does the fact that you're not using it tell you a lot about the person anyway?
Mm. Yeah, I suppose that's a good one.
You've had a chance to think about this, so what would yours be?
I know I'm going to shoot. So I thought a good one would be photos of the last 5 meals that they cooked.
Oh, God, no. Microwaved carrots.
Well, yes. There you go. So I would quite like to see, because obviously I would like someone who could feed themselves, like make actual food, and also someone that eats a vegetable.
Like, okay, I ticked both of those boxes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like it would need to be someone who actually ate like an adult. Like it couldn't be with someone who is a dead picky eater, like just ate chicken nuggets.
Yeah, chicken nuggets with some ketchup. Okay, but that's quite a good one. Hmm. Or...
Okay.
Even just like their 5 last photos on their phone, like what they've taken them of, and then you're like, if it's 5 selfies, not great.
Yeah, probably 5 screenshots of memes. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I would probably, in fact, me and Dr. Mike had this discussion, and we were saying that there should be a dating app that you had to put like your top 3 memes. In fact, we weren't even talking about dating. I think we were talking about friendship. Like, you'd be like, I would like that person because we've got a similar sense of humour. And that's probably actually a really important, like, commonality, not just with people you date, but with people that are, like, you're friendly with.
Mm-hmm. I think you're totally right. Like, there should be a meme dating app.
Yeah, okay.
Where, like, the top memes get, like, the top likes. And then, yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Maybe when we post this podcast, we should do our top 3 memes.
Yes.
Okay. You can send me yours after this.
That would be so hard. My phone is just all screenshots of me.
It is hard.
Yeah.
I think my favorite one ever is this girl like at the back of a school bus, and it's cut off, and it like the way it's cut off, it just says "whore school." Which isn't even that funny, but I just absolutely died at it.
Right. Okay. I really like the woman who's like doing this face going like, do you know that one?
No one can see, but
she's like, she's just doing like a what, like she's got her arms out to the side and she's like, sorry, what? And then the other one where like the woman's like bending down looking, like, you know that one?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, okay. I like
this one. Okay, well, we'll post these so people can actually see them. And then finally, on social media, what has been... I don't know how much, like, insults you get on social media. I don't get many anymore, which sometimes upsets me a little bit because I found them quite funny.
Mm-hmm.
What's the funniest insults you've had?
Okay, so I have a YouTube channel. And it's not really, it's like fitness/comedy. And one of my most viewed videos, I 100% knew what I was doing. We uploaded a video of us trying to crush watermelons with our thighs. And like I knew that was a super thirsty thing to do because like there is a whole like group of men that love watching women like who really muscly like burst things. They're like I know anyway. And one of the comments was like a link to timestamps of all the times that had camel toe.
Oh my god. What, so they'd gone through it and like noted yeah. down?
Yeah. And there's like five different timestamps. So yeah, probably something like that. Like I haven't really had that many because I'm not like an like you know, I think if you're like really muscly as a woman, like really ripped as you are and have been like
not well, anymore but have been yeah
I think that probably like if you're like quite like maybe different looking you'd have that comment but no I've not really had that
yeah extremes sort of attract that kind of thing and
yeah
but then I always thought as well like I knew if I put up like an absolutely shredded photo that there would be like a couple of people that wouldn't like it or that would comment telling me that they didn't like it. And I always sort of thought, well, actually, if I want to put it up, then you've got to have thick enough skin to deal with a little bit of negativity. Mm-hmm. And it was never huge. And I often found them, like I said, like quite funny. Like a few, I think I had one that was like, you look like a 12-year-old boy. And then there was this whole thread on Reddit that was, I'd put up a pic. This was ages and ages ago. I was still at uni. And I guess I'm really lucky and have quite a long torso, but I get abs quite quickly, but I still had quote unquote fat arms and legs. Mm-hmm. And there was this whole thread about how it must have been photoshopped and it was completely impossible. But like the detail that people go into, kind of like your timestamp thing, like why are you so how do you have time to do this?
Absolutely incredible. Like you know that it is someone who just is like desperately unhappy with themselves and really And I think that's if you just keep the awareness of that, that's why you can just laugh it off.
Yeah, like, yeah. It always says more about someone else. Like, it doesn't even really cross my mind. If I saw a picture I didn't like, I wouldn't ever think to comment on it saying, you don't look good in this.
It's so anonymous. So people can feel that they do that. But when you posted that, I think you put it on your stories. I went to have a look. I tried to find it on Reddit, but it's not there anymore. It must have gone. There's only just like pictures with like creepy men commenting.
Oh, I've not looked for a while, actually.
You should look yourself up. There's like five or six pictures. You're famous, girl.
Wow, yeah, made
and,
it.
So it's like people being really creepy.
Yeah.
Like, the things that people say, like, I didn't even notice that I had camel toe. Never mind five times in one video. Someone's like proper, like really looking. But I've been quite quite lucky. I once had an email that just said, "Hi Shona, how many press ups can you do, James?"
Aww.
I didn't reply, but probably because it wasn't that impressive.
Yeah, I got a message from someone, in fact I think it was on Twitter, which is weird because it seems to be less of this on Twitter, but they were like quite like a lot like you're ridiculous, and it kept going. It was like, you're not even strong, I could beat you up. And it was like it was a man.
What the fuck?
I was thinking, one, never said I'm strong. Two, like, yeah, you're a man. Like, what's the point of this comment? But it went on for ages, and he just kept, like, he was obviously trying to get me to bite for ages, and I was just, it was really odd.
He's obviously gone on to Twitter, seeing a hot girl with abs who, like, looks really good, and that's just, he's taken that to insult his masculinity because he's not ripped or he doesn't look muscular, and he feels the need to, like, pull you down. And when you're just aware of that, it makes it totally ridiculous, doesn't it?
Yeah. Or, so, I think there's also, like you said, with the crushing watermelons, that some men have, like, a fetish over that. Mm-hmm. I think there's sort of some men that like being, like, beaten up.
Yeah, well, the lift and carry is a thing as well. Like, there's all these pictures of, like, giant women lifting men up and, like, holding them like babies. That's that's another fetish.
Do you know what? If fitness doesn't work out for me... Well, it seems to be that, like, people like being sent pictures of, like, toes and stuff as well. Or, like, will you send me your old socks?
Like, I mean, if you're paying handsomely, you can have them.
Fine. I'm not going to use them.
Yeah, it is bizarre. See, when you put like pictures of yourself looking buff on the internet, you will find that there's like those creepy people out there. Let's just say it's mostly dudes, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's not sexist, but I don't get that kind of stuff from women.
No, although you probably would like it.
Oh, yeah. Would love a woman to want my old socks.
Right, I'm just on the video just now to see if I can find some of the creepy comments. So I'm on the watermelon video and it says, will be a dream for me to receive a head scissor from one of you. If you want, I can give you some money to do it on me. Thanks, love babies.
Ooh.
That's what the comments.
Love babies.
Yeah. So, but then if I scroll down, there's like quite a few comments in that video. And one of them is legs can't be that strong. Because like
can't even smash the watermelon.
Yeah, so there's three of us doing it and the watermelons are like really small and spherical, like totally round.
See, that would be harder.
Well, not like only one of us could do it. I couldn't do it. It was so painful. Like it was like imagine trying to crush a lacrosse ball in between your legs. Ooh. It was really painful. And so like there was a bit of editing going on. I dropped my watermelon and then put it back. And then it was like, it burst. I was like, oh, look at me, I've done it. But it was really obvious it was fake. But there's loads and loads and loads of videos of, who is it? There's like an Insta famous girl who's got like huge thighs and she does it. And she like, she can crush anything like pineapples, like anything. I don't know how she does pineapples. That would be really sharp.
Yeah.
But
I'd be impressed with a coconut.
I'm sure I've seen videos where doing a coconut.
No way. We'll probably need to link this as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna link that too.
Anyway, shall we wrap up? It's been absolutely lovely to have you. Thank you for coming on.
Talking about crushing things in my thighs is the thing that we're signing off on. But there you go.
It's a good way to finish. Do we have any take homes from this?
Right, okay, so...
I think in terms of the relationship take-homes, it should be, you know, don't use your attachment style as an excuse to be shit in a relationship. Maybe you should think about... Maybe you should be more self-aware and change yourself.
Be more self-aware, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that's a good one.
Yeah.
Find Emma a girlfriend in 2020, but she's not looking. But if you want to add to her life, then... Come on in.
And I promise to add to yours.
If I'm not being too busy being avoidant.
Yeah, with my avoidant attachment style. Thanks. Okay. Bye.
Bye.